Greetings. Welcome to Bible Strong. This is your host, C.M. Atkinson. We've been teaching on the subject of grace. Amazing grace. My scripture reading for this lesson is in Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 27. The Bible tells us, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This verse tells us that all have sinned, not just a few of us, not just those that are sinners today. All have sinned. Every person, all the way down from Adam and Eve to this present day, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've never reached that great height. We are always coming short of the glory of God. God wants us to measure up to His glory. He wants us to be just like Him, righteous, holy, and glorious. In his prayer to the Father, he prayed, "Give them the glory that you have given to me." Jesus wants to share with us everything that he has. We are an heir, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. And then verse 24 tells us, being justified freely by his grace. I like that phrase, justified freely. God didn't find it hard to justify us, to make us holy, to share his righteousness with us, to cause us to be a partaker of his holiness, his righteousness. He did it freely, not begrudgingly. And it was through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It was not through what we did. It was not through our works. It was not through our generous heart. It was not through our worship. It was not through our tithing. It was not through our church attendance. It was not through working in the food pantry. It was through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. We couldn't do enough to redeem us. We were too far gone. We couldn't pray enough to redeem us. We couldn't attend church enough to redeem us from what we have done. We were too far gone. But he freely justified us through the redemption that is in Christ. And then Paul asked the question, where is boasting then? This righteousness, this justification was freely given to us through the redemption of Jesus Christ. We have nothing to brag about. Paul said, it's excluded. Bragging about our works is not included in this justification. This justification came to us freely by Jesus Christ. We have nothing to brag about. In my previous lessons, I mentioned some of the objections to being saved by grace and grace alone. Some say that grace is too risky. People will take the advantage of it. Some people think that grace is too risky. There needs to be some works tied to our salvation. There needs to be something we have to do, or else it is too good to be true. If we are not saved by what we do, then we may do nothing. If we are not saved by tithing, we don't tithe. If we're not saved by church attendance, then I'll stay at home. I'll admit, grace is risky. There is a chance that people will take it to the extreme. There is the possibility that people will abuse this. You remember when you read the book of Jude? He warned them of those who would turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Jude called them ungodly men with their ungodly deeds. And then there's another objection to grace brought on by the group of people who don't like change. The Jews had never been taught this new doctrine, this newfangled thing that Paul was going around preaching. They had never been taught this. They'd never heard of it. My, all we know is keeping the law. When somebody did something wrong, they could always lay down the law. What you gonna do now when someone does something wrong? Well, why would you want to do anything other than warn them of the wrath of God? Back in those days, the days when people lived under the laws of Moses, those preachers and teachers, the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin courts, they not only taught the law, preached the law, and some of them actually lived the law, they enforced the law. God is the enforcer of His laws today. We don't sit under any enforcers of the law other than God Himself. Paul said, I think it a small thing to be judged by any of you. God is my judge. There is another group besides those who say that this too risky to be true or too new to be true. There are some who says it's too good to be true. Just as the pragmatic who said grace is too risky, and the traditionalist who said grace is too new, there is another skeptic who says that grace is too good to be true. I would say that this is the most common objection of grace. Some people feel that they have overextended grace, that grace cannot cover every sin they've done. The young woman who spends 2 years at the university saying yes to the flesh and no to God, did she overstep the boundaries of grace? And then there was the young husband who had paid for an abortion a decade ago. Did he overstep the boundaries of God's grace? And then there was the son who had did everything that he could think of wrong. He had sinned against his family. He had sinned against his mom, his dad. He'd sinned against God. Has he overstepped the boundaries of grace? Has he gone so far that the grace of God cannot reach him? Has he passed the boundaries of grace? My Bible tells me where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Even though I am being redundant, I'm going to mention one more time. Some people look out upon this old world, and all they see is an ocean of sin and debauchery and immorality. I look out over this same world. I see the same ocean that they see, but I also see another ocean, an ocean of God's grace, an ocean of God's love, an ocean of God's forgiveness that's much larger than the ocean of sin. Where sin doeth abound, the grace of God doeth much more abound.
If you could own all the world and its money, build castles tall enough they'd reach the sky above. If you could know life's gate, still you'd know nothing until you've known God and His love. Everybody, and you could call every name from here to yon. But if you've not come face to face with Jesus and His saving grace, still you've known nothing until you've known the love of God. Until you know the loving hand that reaches down to fallen man and lifts him up from out of sin where he has tried. Until you've known the love of God.